The book of Matthew, chapter 19, in our studies of the red letters, what the Lord has said as we examine who he is. And it's interesting, to be honest, I'm trying to take these passages and trying to break them all up. And verse 13 starts off where Jesus is talking, and they bring the kids to him. There's just a verse or two in that. And I was just going to skip it. Because there's another passage that's a bigger part. And so I was really struggling reading this passage. I'm like, why is that in there? I don't know if you've ever done that. Sometimes, you're like, Lord, why did you interject that right there? And sometimes we are so blinded with our own ideas. And that's why I was kind of looking through. And then all of a sudden, it dawned on me that, wait a minute, the Lord doesn't make mistakes. And if there's something I don't understand, the problem isn't God, the problem's me. I know you don't have to deal with that, right? And then it dawned on me that really these verses were really critical to the understanding the rest of the passage. So I want to take a look here, and this is verses 13 through 15. As if the little children were brought to him, that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. I think that's the phrase, for such is the kingdom of heaven. File that away as we go through the rest of this passage. And he laid hands on them and departed from there. You see it involved, oftentimes, if you've been in a group of adults and you have kids who want to be involved, and sometimes, as adults, we kind of blow them off, because kids don't play by the rules sometimes. They don't understand, well, now's the time to sit quiet, now's the time to do this, now's the time for that, and so, we kind of dismiss the little ones. And I always took this passage, just a few verses here of, look, Jesus loves the little children. He used to sing the song. And they hear Jesus says, bring them. And he says, for such is the kingdom of heaven. We've seen this, Jesus, a few times throughout the scriptures. They're arguing about who's the greatest, right? All the disciples. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? And Jesus brought what? A little child to them. And he said, unless you become like this, right? And that was just in the last chapter. And we see Jesus taking it and using kids as an example. And we looked at that, like I said, just a couple weeks ago in Matthew chapter 18, and some of the qualities that he wants us to have, to be childlike in our faith. But it's interesting because the contrast here is we have the little children who want to come to Jesus, and Jesus brings them in and blesses them. Now take a look at verse 16. So now, behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So we had this rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and says, what do I have to do? What good thing do I need to do to go to heaven? Notice what he says here. The word strikes me. He says, behold, good teacher, what good thing shall I do? And Jesus calls him on it. And so he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. The word good is being thrown around here a lot. Good teacher, what good things do I have to do? And Jesus is like, why do you call me good? Only God is good. And in a sense, Jesus is using this, look, God's only good, and I'm good, therefore I am God. There's a sign of the deity of Christ in here. But I think something deeper is going on as Jesus turns around, right? Here we have this young man who comes up, and we're going to find out here that he's a good guy, right? In his own eyes. And we're going to get into that as it lays out. He goes, look, I am good. What do I have to do to get heaven? And he's almost like, Jesus, you're good. And guess what? I'm good. Does God love good people? There's silence in the crowd. Yeah, right? Jesus, he wants us to be good. Right? Listen to your mama. Be good. He goes, but what good things do I have to inherit eternal life? Now, it's interesting because he comes to Jesus, and in that time and age, oftentimes the wealthy would go out and would get private tutors. And they would go out and hire a rabbi, and they could find different rabbis and pay them a certain amount to come and teach their children. There's an area of prestige, and this young man could have went anywhere and actually could have paid a rabbi to teach him these things. He had the means. He had the wealth. And he comes to Jesus. And Jesus answers this question. He says, look, why do you call me good? He says, but if you want to enter into eternal life, keep the commandments. And he said, which ones? And he said, thou shalt not murder. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You should not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And it's interesting, reading this passage, I'm kind of like, oh, here's kind of the big sins. Right? And I'm like, okay, and I don't know about you, but as I read kind of this list, I go through and say, oh, you know, what do I have to do to go to heaven? Oh, not murder. Okay, check. Right? I've never murdered anyone. Thought about it, but never have. Should not commit adultery. I haven't done that. Oh, you have not stolen. Well, nothing too big. You know, I didn't take a car. I didn't do anything like that. Have I ever taken something that wasn't mine? No, don't you judge me. You've been in the same thing. And it's funny. We're in school, in college, and all of a sudden, the teacher had got up and left, and one of the ladies in the class said, "Does anyone want a sucker?" It's like, all right. So she opened her purse, and her purse was full of suckers. I mean, not just one or two, but it was heaping full of suckers. And we're all like, "Wow, you like suckers?" And she goes, "Well, she got a job cleaning a bank." And so she went around, and the bank had a little jar of that you could take suckers. And she's like, oh, they're free. And so she went in back, and then she found the bag that they used, and she dumped the whole bag into her purse. And we're like, wait a minute, you stole those. She goes, no, they're free. I'm like, it doesn't quite work that way. I think you can take one, maybe two. I don't think you can take the whole bag. And she got all offended that we called her a thief. But you're like, you're stealing them, right? But you steal time, and you steal so many different things. But nothing real bad. You know, I never stole someone's car. You should not bear false witness. If you lied about someone, honor your father and your mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And it's interesting because he brings out these sort of the big ones. And even as we went through them, it doesn't take long to say, you know what, even on these big ones, oh man, I haven't done that great of a job. I had a boss that we worked with, and he knew I was in college to become a pastor. And so we're talking religion, and I said, well, how do you believe in God? Oh, I believe in God. He goes, me and God have our own system worked out, which I thought was interesting that him and God have his own personal system worked out. I said, well, what's your system? He goes, well, if I just keep the Ten Commandments, I'm okay. And so he kind of went through this list and said, you know, like honoring your father and mother. It's like, have you ever said anything to your parents that you really wish you wouldn't have? Have you ever stolen something? And so it's interesting because this is in our dialogue. You know, we started with 10 commandments. If I just keep these 10, I can go to heaven. And by the time we were done, you know, we were down to like 4 or 5. You know, it's kind of like, oh. And it's interesting because even in our own lives, if we talk about the idea of goodness, right? I'm a good person. I like to think I'm a good person. You know, I haven't killed anyone. I haven't stolen anyone's car, right? I mean, I'm a good person. And I can look around and find other people who are worse than I am. Right? I said, oh, well, I'm glad I'm not like those. I'm like, And you can always find someone like that, right? But even by my own standards, right? Here's someone who says, look, I just keep the Ten Commandments. I'm good enough. And he couldn't even keep his own. And I think all of us, if we're honest, if we were to look in the mirror and say, okay, what makes me good? And we can all, you know, you all have some good qualities. But I would dare say even we would all fall short of our own idea of good, let alone God's. But we overlook those things, or we excuse them. And so it's interesting, Jesus goes through and, you know, look at this list. It's like, man, okay, I haven't killed anyone. I haven't sold anyone's car. But man, have I lied? Have I treated my neighbor as myself? It doesn't take long to figure out, you know what? We're not good. We like to pretend we are, but we're not. And then Jesus comes along, and actually, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, well, I haven't killed anyone. He said, well, have you ever been angry with someone? And right, you've committed murder in your heart. We just drove down to New Hampshire. And there was a few people who cut me off and were doing some silly things on the road. And I had a little bit of hate in my heart. But we see this play out. And Jesus starts laying this all out and said, okay, you know what? If you want to play that game, if you want to rely on yourself and be good enough to get to heaven, here's the standard. Now, it's interesting. The young man says to him, all these things have I kept from my youth. And what do I still lack? I find it interesting, even reading that list really quickly, I realized I'm not good enough. And this guy had convinced himself, you know what, I haven't done any of those. I mean, this guy, notice how he starts off, right? What good thing do I have to do? Right, good teacher. And he was looking in the mirror and he was like, man, I got this. It's interesting, the state of his, I'm going to use the word delusion. He looked in the mirror and really didn't see who he was. Even on the list we showed, now, I go through other scriptures where it steps on my toes because I know I fall short. I know I'm never good enough. But this man looked at these things. Look, I'm doing all of this stuff, right? I should be good enough. And yet, he goes, I'm still lacking something. He knew something wasn't right. And I think we often have that. Because we know we're not good enough. We try everything. I try my best. And I fall short. And he knew. He was fooling himself and thinking he was good enough. You know, he was young. He had all his whole future ahead of him. He was rich. Surely that's God's blessing on his life, right? Surely I'm okay because look at all the stuff God gave me. He was a ruler. He was in charge of others. Look at the prestige that he had. Oh, surely I'm good enough. But deep down inside, he knew something wasn't right. Because how good do you have to be? And I think sometimes as a church, we put off vibes that we're in the business of just making people better. It's not about making people better. It's not taking people and making them good enough. I always kind of get heartbroken because, you know, I'll talk to people and say, I'll come to church. And go, no, I can't because I have. And you know, some people struggle and they have sins in their lives and their lives are complicated and things are messed up. And they're like, I can't come to church because I have all this. I'm like, no, you don't get it.
We come to church because we have all this. The church isn't full of perfect people. I hate to pop your bubble. Right? We're not perfect. We don't have it all together. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And the goodness I have isn't because of me, it's because of Him.
The church is a hospital for sinners. And that's a call that goes out.
And so it's interesting. He goes, what else do I lack? What else can I do? And I have this idea of good enough. And the first thing I want to tell you, guess what? No one is good enough. There's no one who is good enough. Now, it's interesting because we have this sort of equation. Look, because I'm a Christian, I do good works. I try to do good because I'm a Christian. But the inverse of this is not true. But look, you don't become a Christian by your good works. You're not. None of us are going to stand before God and stand before Him. And He'll say, why should I let you into heaven? It's because I was a good boy. No. None of us are good enough.
The only reason why I can get into heaven is because Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that, and I trusted Him as my Lord and Savior. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine, and I trust in Him.
And now because Christ is in my life, I try to please Him. I try to do what He wants me to do, and I don't always do that well. I struggle, I falter.
It's funny, I was at the back door on the way out, and shaking hands, and someone came up to me and said, "Hey, Pastor, you must be good because you never have any struggles." I'm like, "Let me tell you, I struggle." But I thank you that He's gracious. And it's not about being good enough, and I think we all kind of fall into that trap. God doesn't call us to be good people. Now, He works in us, and He changes us. But you don't have to clean yourself up to come to Him. The Bible says in Ephesians, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That once I give my life to Him, then I try to please Him. But we can't do it without Him. And I don't do good so that He loves me. The Bible says He loved me when I was dead in my sins. Jesus loves sinners. You don't have to earn His love. And this is love, the Bible says, that while we were dead in sins, He died for us.
So he's like, oh, there's something missing in my life. And so Jesus turns to him in verse 21 and says, Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. So it's interesting that Jesus gave a list that anyone could accomplish. And yet the rich young ruler thought he was still good enough. And so Jesus cuts to the quick and he tells him, go sell what you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. What Jesus tells him is give it all up. Now this is a prescription that, hey, you all go give up all your money. I find it interesting here that Jesus doesn't say, you know what? Take all your wealth and give it to me. What does he say? Give it to the poor. Right? He goes, give it all away and follow me. And this is where it clicked for me because Remember back the verse that talks about let the little children come to me? And what a contrast this is to the rich young ruler. Because let me ask you something. When kids come, what do they have? What do kids have? Nothing. Kids have nothing. Right? Every once in a while,
you ever had your kid come up and start getting demanding, and you're like, wait a minute, no. That's not your bed. That's my bed. I let you sleep in my bed. Right? Right? The dressers you have, the clothes you have, you didn't buy them. You got them from what? From me. You don't own anything. And when the children come to Jesus, they got nothing except for their love. Right?
And it just dawned on me that verse before this passage about the rich young ruler wasn't in there by chance. And in here, Matthew put these together to show a contrast. See, the rich young ruler was coming to Jesus and saying, look all I have. Look at all my good works I have. Look how successful I am. Look how respected I am. Oh, Jesus, here, take me. Look how good I am. Compared to the children who have what? Nothing. I got empty hands. Right? What does the child have that Jesus needs? Nothing. And yet the children are the one who come and get blessed. You see the paradigm here? And so the rich young ruler, Jesus says, look, obey your parents and don't murder and don't steal, all these things. And the guy's like, oh, wow, yeah, look. I haven't done any of those things. Look how good I am. Jesus, accept me. And Jesus sees through that. And he cuts right to the issue. He goes, sell what you have. Give it all up. And imagine the rich young ruler in his mind is like, what? That would leave me with nothing. That leaves me with nothing. And I think Jesus is saying, yeah, exactly. Come to him with open arms. And an open heart and surrender to him. Jesus doesn't need your stuff. He's not impressed with how good you are. He wants us to come before him and surrender our lives to him. Just take all of me, Lord. Yeah, but I'm broken and bruised and this is all I got. Jesus says, that's what I want. It was funny, I was at a Christian camp, and I love going up and ministering to the kids, and I'll go out and I'll play with them, and it gets harder the older I get. I can't quite keep up with them, and it's just, I had this little boy come up, and afterwards I found out the nurse pulled me aside and told me that this little boy had a really rough home life. And basically, the parents just sent him to camp to get rid of him. And his dad's been in and out of jail, and just a really heartbreaking situation. And I was out playing with him, and talking to him, and joking with him, and this little boy all of a sudden followed me around like a little puppy. And he comes up, and we're getting towards the end of the week, and he comes up, and he gives me a big hug. And he goes, can you be my dad? And I was like, oh, you know. And I said, I can't. And he reaches into his pocket, and he pulls out three little gummy bears. And I don't know how long they've been in his pocket, because they were kind of misshapen because they melted a little bit. There's a little bit of hair and pocket lint. And he goes, I want you to have these. Now, if you're heartless here this morning, you'd be like, ugh. He gave you 3 melted gummy bears with hair and lint and all that. And then you're missing the point. Because it wasn't about the gummy bears. He was just giving what he had. Was it perfect? No. And so he gave them to me, and I'm like, thank you. And he's looking at me. So you know what you want me to do. So I pulled the hair out. The lint was staying because they were kind of melted in there. And I took those 3 gummy bears and I popped them in my mouth and I ate them. And he had a big grin on his face. Because I don't know how often he got gummy bears. And to get candy from a kid, you don't understand what a sacrifice that is. And I said, thank you, and he came up and just gave me another big hug. And I'm like, that's what God wants from us. But God, all I got is some stinky little gummy bears. I don't have anything. And that's the point. See, if we think we're something when we're nothing, we miss the point. When we come to God and say, God, look how good I am. Oh, you're so lucky to have me. You're missing the point.
See, this man thought he had so much to give to Jesus. And he really didn't have anything. So Jesus tells him, sell all that you have. Give it to the poor and follow me. Get rid of all the things in your life that you can hold up and say, look what I've earned. Look what I deserve. Back in verse 22, it says, then the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. See, the man loved his stuff more than he loved God. And I tell you, that's challenging in our lives because I don't have great wealth and riches. But are there things that I'm hanging on to that God says, let go of and come to me empty-handed? And that is probably different from you than it is for me. And a call goes out to surrender those things. And this man was unwilling, and instead he came and walked away. You know, he was willing to follow, he was willing to come to God and say, God, take me with all my stuff. But he's unwilling to give it all up. And this kind of alarmed the disciples. Let me ask, what profit is it to man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will man give in exchange for his soul? If you are striving to be good enough, you never will be. And he doesn't ask you to be. He says, come as you are, broken and bruised, hurt and broken. Come. So the disciples get alarmed. He says, and Jesus said to his disciples, surely I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples heard it. They were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? Now, I've heard it, you know, talked about that. Well, the eye of the needle was, you have the main gate where everyone would go through, and then there's a man-sized hole that they would get, and they call it the eye of the needle.
And so to get a camel through that, you'd have to take all the stuff off and wiggle your way through. I really can't find any historical case for that. And I don't think that quite fits, because if you could get a camel through that, then it's not impossible. And notice Jesus says, look, it's impossible for us to get there on our own.
And the problem is those who are rich, and you may be rich in finances, you might be rich in personality, you might be rich in charisma, you may be rich in a lot of different ways, and yet God is not impressed with any of that. He says, give it. Let go of it all. And come like little children, empty-handed and humble. So the disciples go, wait a minute, you know, because we all desire to be rich. I want more stuff. Now, who can be saved? He says, no. With God, all things are possible. Look, no one is good enough. And realize we have nothing to offer. And we must all come as children with nothing. As we humble ourselves, He calls us. And we only can do that by the power of God. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. See, God works in us to humble us. And some people are further on that road. I found it refreshing when we were in Bible school. We went to the jail and we went to a city mission. And Rochester has a big city mission. And the homeless and addicts. And it's interesting because you talk about, you know what? God loves sinners and they lighten up. You don't have to convince them of their sin. They know. You go to a church and you say, oh, you're a sinner. You look at people who squirm and say, I'm not so bad. I almost think that God was more real in the city mission with those brokenhearted people than it was in times in pious churches. Because I'm not so bad. I'm okay. Look how good I am. It's not about being good enough. It's interesting that it was the sinners that were attracted to Jesus. The people had nothing to give, and yet he said, come.
So quickly, the last point here. And Peter answered and said, see, we have left all, right? Peter, I love Peter, big mouth. He's watching this go on, and he tells the ruler, he goes, oh, sell all that you have. And he goes off, and Peter's like, well, we gave it all, right? Are we going to heaven, right? And Peter answered and said, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? And Jesus said to them, surely I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Lord comes back, when the Son of Man sits on his throne in glory, you who have followed me will also sit in 12 thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. In here we have the promise of a reward. Folks, if we give up all this in the world for Jesus, guess what? We gain it all. This world has nothing that I need. Nothing worth hanging on to. Nothing to come between me and God. I've seen the song, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Surrender all. But we gain it all by gaining Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Put God first in your life, and things will fall into place below that. And here I want to leave you with a promise. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give everyone according to his work. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may be right to the tree of life and may enter through the gate into the city. Jesus is coming
And all the things in this world won't matter. A hill of beans. Which I never understood why you have a hill of beans, but it doesn't matter. God wants us to surrender. Humble ourselves. It doesn't matter what state you are, he says, come. Be like a little child. Empty yourself and come to him. And he said, "Surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Surrender to the Lord. Let the Lord come into your life. Don't fall into the trap of feeling you have to be good enough, because you're not. And you don't have to be. He says, come as you are. You know, he'll work on the cleaning and he'll work on the healing. He'll work on all that. Come to him as you are. Don't wait until you have it all together to come to God. Christian, this morning, don't think you're all that. Because you're not. But he loves you. He says, follow me. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. Encourage us with it. Lord, you tell us to come like a child, Lord, empty-handed, with nothing but ourselves. And in that, Lord, heal us. Lord, in this, that we may inherit eternal life, Lord, that it is through the cross, your death, your burial, and your resurrection, Lord, and the belief and trust in that is what saves. It's not my goodness. Your word says there's none righteous, no, not one. Lord, I'm not. But Lord, help me appreciate your love for me when I don't deserve it, but you do anyways. Come into my life, Lord. Be a sanctuary in my life. Come dwell in me. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.